Now, every one of us wants to make a difference in the world. To us, God says, "That's wonderful, my child. Go for it." I almost could hear his voice. But he continues, "But I want you to do things in proper order. Do these things before you go out and start making a difference in the world." So we may ask God, what things should I do first before I do go out and make a difference? God says, remove the idols, worship me, and change the world. That's what I see in today's text that you read and you heard. And that's the proper order of making a difference in the world. Have you noticed that we have so many people who like to make a difference and change the world, but without thinking, there are a couple of things that we need to do before we go out and do. And that's what I have discovered, and let me explain to you how I got that inspiration. The story goes, one day God's angel appeared to Gideon, a plain, ordinary man, farmer, and commissioned him to deliver his people, Israel, from the enemies. God said to him that he was with the people of Israel. And Gideon said, "Lord, if that's the case, why your people still suffer?" The Lord replied, "Because you guys abandoned me. Because you worship the foreign gods instead." Now listen to verse 10 one more time. This is what the Lord said. "I am the Lord your God. You shall not pay reverence to the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not given heed to my voice." Now please notice here that God did not send Gideon right away into the battlefield. He says, "You are a mighty warrior, and I have called you to deliver Israel. Go out and do it now." You don't see that. God indeed required two things of Gideon before he goes out and changed the world. So what were they? They were, remove the idols in your own house, and second, build an altar to me, that is worship, and then go out and rescue my people. Remember what I said last Sunday? I said the revelation of God to God's people always prompts voluntary response from God's people. What was that? To build an altar to God. The same thing happened again in today's story. God appeared to Gideon, and Gideon built an altar to the Lord. Now, you might have noticed, if you've carefully followed the text, something unusual, or even I would call unique, happened in this picture. What was that? Gideon built an altar how many times? Anyone following the story? Twice. Have you noticed that? In one day. Nowhere in the Bible was a man ever asked by God to build an altar to him twice in one day. But Gideon was. In fact, he was the first and the last one who ever built twice an altar to the same God in one day. It seems to me odd, as if his first altar was not good enough. Now think why God asked Gideon to build another second altar after the first one was built in the same day. And here's why. Because right next to God's altar that Gideon built first time, guess what? Baal's altar was still standing and competing for Gideon's loyalty. It's like you dating your girlfriend or boyfriend in that matter, and her ex-boyfriend is coming to you and say, "Hey, can I join your date?" What did you say? "Go away," right? You don't need When it comes down to worship, our God does not like competition. He deserves and demands an exclusive loyalty from us to Him alone. Not to any other gods, not to anybody else or anything else in that matter. And even though Gideon built a genuine altar to the Lord first time, when God saw the altar of Baal still standing next to it, He said, "No way. Get rid of it, Gideon." By the way, what was and who was Baal? It was one of the foreign gods in the land of Canaan. It was a fertility god, and it was also the rain god. The meaning of the name Baal is Lord, Master, Owner, or Keeper. The people of Canaan worshipped it for centuries, believing that it would bring blessings to them. When the Israelites entered the land, God forbade them specifically to worship Baal or any other gods in the land. Yet the people of Israel went after them anyway. Like the surrounding nations, they too wanted to worship this God of abundance. Like the other people, they too loved the graven and molten image of Baal over no image of Jehovah God. Now let me read verses 25 and 26 one more time. God said to Gideon, "Pull down the altar of Baal that belongs to your father, and cut down the sacred pole that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold here." I hope you begin to see the picture in your mind. "Tear down the altar of Baal and build an altar to me," God said. "Do it on top of the stronghold of the same place where Baal's altar used to be." By the way, what is a stronghold? It is a fortified place to protect people in it against attacks, isn't it? A castle comes to my mind, or fortress comes to my mind. It is built mainly for defense. It provides a place of refuge. Now we must realize here why God calls the altar of Baal a stronghold. Because once an altar is built, it becomes the place of refuge. Whatever gods we build an altar to, they become our refuge and our master. You see, when you build an altar to money, that means that the money becomes your God and master. When you build an altar to the Lord, God becomes your stronghold and refuge. And you know what Gideon's father did? He built an altar to Baal, the foreign god, and it became his idol and stronghold in the family. That's why God wanted Gideon to remove it, repent of your father's sin, and reestablish the covenant with Jehovah God. Now this morning, as pastor of this congregation, I'm launching a challenge of a family prayer altar to reestablish our relationship with God. I urge every family in our congregation to remove their idols first and build a family altar on top of the stronghold of their idols. At this altar, we give God access to our lives. At this altar, we provide God with a stronghold and His reign at our home. Our family altar is the base for God to operate in our lives. Consider an altar like the American flag. Imagine the American flag flying at the White House on Capitol Hill in Washington, and even in front of our church and in front of your own homes and houses. What does it signify? What does it signify? It declares to everyone that America has reigned over that territory and place, doesn't it? We agree to live under its law and order, and the residents of the house where the flag is flying also pledge their allegiance to America. Same with our family prayer altar. By dedicating our family prayer altar to the Lord, we fly the flag of allegiance to God's sovereignty over our homes. We welcome God to establish His kingdom and His stronghold in every family member's life. We also declare to our spiritual enemies that they have no business in our homes. We ask them to take a close look at our altar where God's reign is firmly established. And we tell them loud and clear that they are not welcome in our homes. In fact, we are at spiritual war against them. So as we defend our family altar, we defend God's reign in our homes. And at this very family prayer altar, we also invoke God's help and provision and protection. Now that's what the family prayer altar is all about. Now just let me briefly explain to you the benefits of the family prayer altar. What do we get when we do this? Number one, you'll get repentance and forgiveness of your sins. We all humans, and we all make mistakes, and we all need the opportunity to make up. At the end of the day, I don't know about you, but my family, you know, I used to have a lot of arguments with my wife. So at the end of the day, I had to make up. So when you do the family prayer altar, it provides the opportunity, because you cannot worship God with crossed mind. You know what I mean? Somehow you say, honey, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Would you forgive me? And move on. So the first benefit of the family prayer altar is that it provides the opportunity for repentance and forgiveness. And number two, it also provides peace and harmony in your home, so that you may, as a family, hear the voice of God. Have you ever tried to listen to God after the big fight and argument? You can't hear, because God is God of peace. You know, when the husband and wife, or the father and mother, have peace between them, guess what? It also, their peace also trickles down to our children. What's the third benefit of a family prayer altar? That is the family dialogue. That would replace TV and smartphones and texting and whatnot and other things that deprive the family of quality time. If you take seriously the quality time, you would have this family prayer altar, because it provides the family dialogue. The last one, I think, is the most important one, is this. It provides the opportunity for the parents to train our children, your children, on behalf of our society. I've never met one single parent who doesn't want his or her child or children to be somebody in the society. You know what? At the altar, what we do, the family stays strong in the Lord, and families that pray together stay together. I'm a firm believer in that. And at the family altar, we build up our children strong before they go out into the world. Listen to this Chinese military strategist whose name was Sun Tzu. This is what he said. I quote, "Victorious warriors win first, then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war and then seek to win." What's the difference between the victorious warriors and the defeated ones? Preparedness. Are you ready? In other words, we want to make sure that we send out our kids out into the world after we equip them at home. That's exactly what God did. He prepared Gideon first before he sent him out to the battlefield. Likewise, God will help us to prepare our children at the family altar before they go out into the world. Now, I'm going to demonstrate how you do it with the prayer the prayer group's help. But let me just summarize how you do it. Some of you just, okay, Pastor Choi, I got it. I heard about the benefits of the prayer altar and so on. How do we do it? Now, first of all, this is how you do it. You do 6 times a week. That means Monday through Saturday. And you take Sundays off, because Sunday we get together and worship the Lord here at God's church. And 10 minutes max. You don't do more than 10 minutes. Okay? If you love it, you can do 20 minutes. But I really recommend you to stay within 10 minutes. So what do? 4 things you do in this family prayer altar. First of all, you do sharing. Asking how was your day, how things going, followed by one person reading the scripture of your choice. You could choose gospel story or, you know, Psalms. Some people love Proverbs. And if you have children, you could choose the children's Bible. You know, choose one story each day and read through, and have a designated person to do. And third thing, after the scripture is read, then you pray together. Everybody participates. Don't make a 5-minute long prayer to impress everybody. That's not the time to do it. Just to make a prayer of 1 or 2 sentences at most, so that everyone will have a chance to pray and end their family devotion with the Lord's Prayer. That's how it goes. Sharing, scripture, prayer, and Lord's Prayer. That's how it goes. So I'm going to just close my sermon. I believe it's time that we all woke up from our spiritual slumber. And God calls you and me and your family and mine to the prayer altar. And I am, through this challenge, looking for 100 families. Exactly 100 families. You think, whoa, that's a rather very high goal. Yes, it is. But you know what? Did you know that our church has over 300 families listed in our church directory? And we have over 600 individuals. So out of 300, I believe we can have 100 families at least who would build their family prayer altar to the Lord daily. And the challenge goes very simple. When you go down in the narthex, you'll see the table upon which you'll see this paper and this paper. The one is the sign of sheet. Just all I'm asking you to write down your last name, Choi, Daniel, whatever. And then, after you sign your name, then pick this up next to it. It's a daily checklist. It has 30 days. So the challenge is doing this family prayer altar thing for the next 5 weeks, 30 days, because Sunday's off, so Monday through Saturday for 5 weeks. That makes up to 30 days. So I hope, you know, we'll be achieving the 100. Number is not that important, but I think for you to participate, and some of you have questions like, Lord, Pastor, I have only one family, me. What do I do? You still do it. You know, set a table, you know, anywhere. Again, you don't have to physically build an altar in your house. Designate any place you prefer. And, you know, Lord Jesus, you and I have a family devotion today, and go for it. Now, some of you, like, my husband doesn't participate, or my wife doesn't participate. That's all right. You don't have to. You invite them. Would you like to do it? If they say no, and you go ahead and do yourself. With the children, the same idea. Again, I hope every one of us will participate in that. And let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so very much for being with us. I cannot wait until see over 100 families of our own church worshiping the Lord starting tomorrow at their family prayer altar. You would be very pleased and say, I am so proud of my children, the Manahawkin United Methodist Church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.